It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Lisa Brady. It's inescapable. Tragic stories every day about fentanyl, and lately rainbow-colored fentanyl, raising even more concern about the potential for deadly consequences. Millions of pills and powdered fentanyl are being seized across the U.S., but sometimes it's hidden in other drugs or counterfeit versions of prescription drugs. And this focus on fentanyl is just part of the broader war on drugs that's been waged for decades now and continues. Though for marijuana, it's changed as many states legalize it, and President Biden moves to pardon certain federal convictions and reconsider the way the federal government classifies pot. So we spoke with Fox's Geraldo Rivera, Fox News correspondent at large and co-host of The Five, about his new Fox Nation series, The Doping of America with Geraldo, streaming now. We made some edits for time and thought you might like to hear the whole thing. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the weekday Fox News Rundown podcast. Now here's Geraldo Rivera on the Fox News Rundown Extra. All right. So here we have President Biden pardoning thousands of Americans with federal convictions for simple marijuana possession. He's also ordering the Attorney General and the Health Secretary to review how pot is classified under federal law. Is this a turning point in the war on drugs, or is this just the drugs winning?
This is a turning point, much belated. I was on the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Law in the mid-1970s. We had the senator at the time, Jacob Javits, the senior senator from New York, other high-ranking officials. It was the consensus that after the hippie generation, we were moving in the direction of legalization of marijuana. Ultimately, we did, but it took decades for it to happen. Untold misery has been inflicted on people who were doing what everybody else was doing. How many people went to jail because they had half a joint in their suitcase that they forgot was packed when the trip from the Bahamas? Stuff like that. It's just really, I applaud it. I also think, this is a kind of a reflection of my own special, when I talk about how much of my career has been spent chasing the dragon, first heroin, and then cocaine, and then crack, and then all the hallucinogenics, and then, AIDS happened, and people are dying from that as they shoot up, and then you get to fentanyl. This is so horrifyingly important that you worry that people aren't so lulled by talking about the war on drugs and this and that for so long, and now you get to a situation now where young people are dying of being poisoned by fentanyl.
What is the origin of the war on drugs? For anyone who doesn't remember, how did this really begin?
Well, in 1971, we were at war, literally, in Vietnam. Not winding down, but it had been so unpopular. It was clear that there was not light at the end of the tunnel, but that we were going to quit. We were going to lose that war and move on. But using the metaphors of the time, President Nixon said, this is something the American people can understand. Drugs are the enemy or an enemy, and we have to fight a war to win against drugs. So we started the war on drugs. Richard Nixon was, remember, he recruited Elvis Presley even at one point to be his ambassador, even though Elvis was, ironically, himself, taking so many pills that he ultimately overdosed on it. But that's where the war analogy came from, those days when America was at war, literally and figuratively. And it was easy for people to understand and easy to appropriate money to fight a war. That was something people could understand. So it's not like mushy-mushy rehab, get people off treatment and so forth. This was a war. This was using the cops. The Drug Enforcement Administration was created. The FBI and other agencies focused on drugs and drug dealing, and we fought a war. We spent a trillion $1 billion on the longest war in American history. And we come now to today with fentanyl and the, just as we knew in Afghanistan, there was no way to win it. I've come to the conclusion that this is Afghanistan and there's no way to win this war either.
But what is the answer then? I mean, obviously you can't just legalize all illicit drugs. I mean, things are different now with marijuana, sure, but what's the answer? If we can't win the war on drugs, we change the playing field?
Well, that's an excellent point. And I wish, I used to think that I wanted to be the Edward R. Murrow of drugs, you know, to be the person who reported on every new high, chased every lead, went from Thailand to Afghanistan, the tribal territories. I remember when Southern Europe and then North Africa, and then remember the French connection, and you know, all I've been on all those fronts in this war. And I could just tell you, as a battle-scarred veteran who was as zealous and as cheerleadery as anyone could be about fighting and winning this war, we've lost this war. You want to spend another $1 trillion? Is that the way we're going to do it? On the other hand, you have 109,000 people that overdosed from fentanyl last year. So that's real. 109,000. To use the war analogy again, in Vietnam, we lost just over 50,000 in 10 years. We've lost 109,000 in 12 months to fentanyl. So I think that what you have to have now is really a kind of a blitz, a public education blitz. As naive as Nancy Reagan was, she was right that maybe that's the only way you could do it. Just say no. You're not going to stop it, but you've got to tell your kid that this is different than my day. This ecstasy you think you bought on the internet, or the Xanax that you think you bought, you know, when you're in your mom's basement and you're on the internet and they're delivering it to your door, it's not. It's not ecstasy. It's not, you know, the drug you think it is. It's fentanyl. It's poison. And if you think of it as poison rather than as a drug, I think that you get closer to it. But I do believe, I mean, dealers, you deal with dealers. So you wipe out dealers, you fight dealers and all the rest of it. But at the consumer level, it's much more dangerous than cops breaking in a door and getting junkies who are shooting up. This is you, mom, dad. You got to get the kid. They don't trust you. They don't believe you. They think you're boring and old-fashioned. You got to let them know that, you know, whatever it is I am or I am not, I can tell you that this is not recreational anything. You could use this 10 times, and it'll be with this strength that you think it is, and you could cut it and do this or that. And the 11th time you do, it's going to be a whole different drug. Because there's no kind of standardization. You know, some batches are extremely potent and toxic and can kill a million people, whatever the statistics they use. You really have to just say no. And I'm not going to put you in jail because you're going to use in jail. Or you're going to use as soon as you get out of jail and your life's going to be screwed up and you're going to bring your family down with you. That's not going to work. The only thing that will work is to just a all-out blitz, a multi-billion-dollar campaign that says fentanyl is not a drug. Fentanyl is poison. Fentanyl will kill you. It killed Prince. It killed a whole bunch of other people, people that had a lot more money than you do, people who are a lot hipper, in terms of their sophistication, and they're dead now. They're dead because they had the arrogance to believe that if it says Xanax on it, it's Xanax and I can take it and I'll be fine, and I take it and I die. It's different.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Why are the traffickers lacing things with fentanyl? Because it doesn't seem to do them any good as a business model if their customers are dying.
That's a great point. It lowers the cost of production to almost zero. So instead of having to get coca leaves from Colombia and then grind them and then mix in the powder and then do the grinding and then the mixing and the packaging and then the transport to get cocaine. All you have to do is get fentanyl and talcum powder, grind it up, and say it's cocaine. And, you know, maybe 9 times out of 10, it'll get high. And you say, whoa, that's different. Or, you know, like, oh, that got me a whack. I cleared my nose. And then the 10th time, your nose blows up and you die. You know, it's I think that there is a wickedness about fentanyl distribution that, for example, in 2016, I was covering New England for the presidential election. And it was all those little towns in Massachusetts and New Hampshire and Vermont, all those little towns were targeted by the cartels or whomsoever because they were like virgin territory. They were using naively whatever they had been using forever. Now you could go move into those markets, those mid and small sized markets, and hit them with fentanyl. They have no knowledge of it, no experience with it. You know, give it a try. It's cheap. At worst, you get addicted. A lot of people do. If you live, you become an addict, or you'll die. And what has happened, alarmingly, is the body count now, so you can use the war metaphors. Mm-hmm. Now you have an amazingly, profoundly destructive wave of massive casualties to this new drug. This is new. I don't think that the president, you know, I'm all for marijuana and all that. There should be a great big but. But I'm telling you, folks, we could talk about some of these other drugs, but even as I'm freeing everybody that's in jail for marijuana, you have to be aware of the fact that fentanyl is out there. They're going to come for you eventually. They're going to want to sell for you or to your kid. And the world has changed. The world has changed. It's such a earth-shattering tectonic movement. This is different. I mean, here I am 52 years in to this career and covering this story, and I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, I'm so glad that my kids are a little older now, that they weren't 14, 15, 16 years old at the time, you know, now that they're old, and it's because it's so bad.
Somebody hands you a pill at school and you decide to experiment and then you're dead. I mean, it's just
dead.
Happening. It's not like all the other drugs have stopped. We still have heroin and cocaine.
Is it heroin? Is it cocaine?
Are they all flowing in on the same stream? Is it all about the cartels?
Good question.
Is the distribution network the same? They've just added fentanyl to it or replaced the other drugs with fentanyl?
If your cost of production is not zero but very low, you know, you can get into business. You could start with fentanyl, just use little bits of it so the consumer gets high, just little tiny bits. And then, you know, the guy down the block wants something more, or your production is, screwed up for some reason. You don't have this ingredient or that. You know, these are what I think that might be helpful are these transactional crimes where the responsibility is compounded. For instance, if you sell me drugs and I die, you could be charged with murder. I think that is the only hopeful tactic that I think law enforcement can use. Make the pushers, not necessarily cartel person, but the person who sells, not the person who sells to support themselves, their habits, but the wholesaler, the block, and charge them with murder when someone dies. There are 109,000 overdose deaths in 12 months. Somebody gave that 109,000, cadre the drug that killed them. That seller should be charged with homicide. I think that every jurisdiction should make that a priority. This is, I preach constantly about violence in the ghetto and black on black crime and gun deaths and all the rest of it. This is twice that. This is, and it's not just the ghetto. It's in the suburbs. It's everywhere, and it is so devastating in its effect that I really think that the alarm bell should be wrong. And you know how people's eyes glass over. You know they talking about fentanyl. It's almost like the weather. I have to really sit America down and say no. This is different. Maybe get Tom Hanks. Or get some like Aaron Judge, get some wonderful, and just let them say, this is different. This is going to kill you. This is poison. Just use the same script. Maybe get 100 celebrities or 1,000 celebrities and
social
and
media.
Let people know and social media. Right.
where they're tuning in. Obviously, the traffickers, the cartels. They've evolved. Any point in the distribution network probably uses maybe somewhat different tactics than they did decades ago. How much has law enforcement also evolved?
That's a good question. Great question. I was in El Chapo's tunnel. I went down for Hannity when that was revealed. And when you see how the cartel dug a tunnel a mile long under a railroad track, under hills and dales, to get not only under the prison, but under the toilet in El Chapo's cell, the one place there wasn't a surveillance camera 24/7. So that's how good they are. They could dig a tunnel a mile long, frame it out so it doesn't collapse, be so precise as you get it right into the cell of the leader of the cartel. When you have that kind of resources, when you have that kind of expertise, that kind of motivation, that kind of competence, it is extremely difficult to stop it. That's why I really do believe. And this old story now, I love how Fox is covering undocumented immigration. And, I'm glad that we're there with the drones and everything. Here's the people coming across. And people in their minds at home equate that mass migration with the drug situation. But as with El Chapo, no fence is going to stop these cartels. No wall, no Coast Guard, no drones, no aircraft. You're not going to. They're going to get in. You've got to just let the kids know. Just say no. This is poison. This is different. Please listen. If not to me, then to someone else, because you're going to get killed.
Well, and to your point, they're seizing thousands and thousands and thousands of fentanyl pills, it seems like, every day, all across the country, state and local police as well. But there's always more. How much does politics get in the way? Because I feel like over the history of the war on drugs, there have always been political overtones.
There's no doubt about it. And there's always been a sense that people of color use and other people don't, and it's false. Certainly with fentanyl, it's a patent lie. Politics have played a role for sure, and that's unfortunate because this is now across all wavelengths. That's what's different. This is not in the ghetto. This is in the basement of your parents' home. It's so pervasive. And so powerful. And I speak to you and I say, people must think I'm like crazy out there. They must think that I'm a zealot. I've been around the block a few times. And I'm telling you, I lived at my first house, my brother's here. He was my roommate on Avenue C in the Lower East Side, between 7th and 8th Street. We used to look out our windows and see junkies stabbing each other. People shooting up in the backyard. It was a shooting gallery next door. The cops would raid the front of the building. And they'd be jumping back into my backyard. And I'd be helping the cops. I've seen it all. I've seen people overdose and how disgusting that is in the days of the heroin. But you had a realistic chance of survival and disease became the biggest danger, particularly when AIDS became a factor. But this is so different. It's like nuclear weapons compared to conventional weapons. I mean, if you use that analogy, or like germ warfare, it's so cataclysmic in its impact, so pervasive in its availability, that I think they have John Kerry as a climate czar. I don't know what your politics are about climate and all the rest of it. But we need almost like you need a fentanyl czar. You have to have someone widely believed who has bipartisan appeal and no axe to grind, leading the charge to communicate the fact, particularly to your teenagers, that this is different, that the world has changed.
Well, people can find out a lot more, not just about fentanyl, but other drugs too, and the war on drugs, with your Fox Nation series, The Doping of America with Geraldo, streaming now on Fox Nation. Geraldo Rivera, always a pleasure.
Yes,
thank you.
Same to you. I was very happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Geraldo.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at briankilmeadeshow.com.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.